Welcome to Trinity Hoyleton.
Lent is the time to reflect on the love of Jesus for us.
Thank you for joining us in worship.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It is wonderful to have you all here tonight as we begin our services for Holy Week, this Holy Weekend leading up into Easter. Tonight is Maundy Thursday. And so tonight we traditionally look at what happened in the Passion narrative as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper and then, of course, goes on with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane where he is betrayed and arrested. And so tonight we'll be focusing on that especially. But we also will be really excited to welcome our confirmands to the communion table for the very first time. So we have our 10 confirmands and their families up here in front. And just so everybody is aware of how communion distribution will go tonight, the first several tables will be the confirmands and their families. So we'll be doing that specifically family by family up here at the communion rail. The ushers will let you know when it's your turn to go. And once we have communed you and your families, then we will proceed with general distribution for the rest of the congregation. So it'll basically feel like a normal communion on a Sunday morning, but with that one difference in the very beginning of distribution. The other thing I wanted to mention is that tonight at the very end of the service, because Maundy Thursday is the beginning of what we call the Holy Triduum, which is the fancy way of saying the Holy 3 days. This is really one long church service that doesn't really end until Easter. And so because of that, there will not be a formal benediction at the end of the service tonight. Rather, in preparation for Good Friday, we are going to be stripping the altar, and our confirmands are going to be helping us with that. Once the altar has been stripped bare, the congregation is free to leave in silence. We invite you to come back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for our Good Friday service of darkness, Tenebrae Vespers. And so everything that you'll need, most of everything you'll need, is printed for you in the bulletin tonight. And I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You may be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God and, to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. And as a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please stand. We pray. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's? Yes. Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Maundy Thursday comes to us from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Epistle reading tonight is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, beginning with verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. Tonight, we will confess together the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn tonight is number 641, You Satisfy the Hungry Heart. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this evening is the Gospel reading, which is the institution of the Lord's Supper according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, which took place, of course, on the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And it happened not just kind of randomly that Jesus institutes the sacrament, but it's all done within the context of a Passover meal, which has certain implications, one of them being that Jesus truly considers the disciples who are around the table to be his true family. And what that means is all these years later, when we receive the Lord's Supper, we are also part of Christ's family. And he has prepared for us a place at his table. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so this is going to be quite the understatement, but I'm just going to go ahead and start the sermon this way anyway and tell you that the COVID-19 pandemic was not a good thing. It really wasn't. And, you know, we stand here 3 years since the original shutdown, and we can still see in so many ways how our lives have completely changed, and a lot of those things are not for the better. It was an awful time, and nobody would wish to live through that again. But there are some silver linings around those clouds, and I think it's important for us as Christians, to acknowledge the blessings that God gives to us, even in the midst of some of these really difficult things that we've had to deal with. Obviously, here at Trinity Hoyleton, we're going to say that one of the biggest blessings that came out of the pandemic is that now we are able to broadcast our worship services online. So we put them out on Facebook. We have this new way of ministering to our members, especially those who are sick or shut in, or who are traveling. There's dozens of people that tune in from all over the place every single week, and that is a big blessing. But that's, you know, a very Hoyleton-specific blessing. I was looking at some other silver linings of the COVID-19 era, and I came across something this week that really caught my attention, and it came in the form of some research that was done by a nonprofit organization called the Family Dinner Project. According to a recent survey that was conducted by the Family Dinner Project, they say 65% of American families have sort of rediscovered the importance of sharing family dinner time at least once a week or more. And a lot of this is because of the shutdown, all those times when people were scattered in different places. Well, during the shutdown 3 years ago, everybody was home, and they had more time to spend together. And this survey says that 65% of these families have now in some way continued to have that habit of eating together more in the evenings. And so that's a wonderful thing. I think that's something to celebrate. I know everybody's situation is different. I know that schedules are crazy. And now that things have kind of come back to normal a little bit, it's like things are maybe even crazier than they were before the pandemic even began. I get all that. And believe me, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. My family is certainly not perfect at this either. But there's no denying the research that's out there that says that when families have a chance to eat together at home, when parents have a chance to eat together with their children, even if it is just once a week, the statistics show that families are healthier. Physically healthier, mentally healthier, spiritually healthier. There's something about having some dedicated time to just be together as a family, to be able to talk with each other, to be able to talk and joke around and relax and really just develop a sense of who you are as a family. These are all good things, and they lead to some really positive behaviors over time. So I was thinking about this, especially now in the context of Maundy Thursday. This is something that comes to mind for me because of the way that the institution of the Lord's Supper on the night before Jesus was crucified was accomplished within the context of the Passover. This family Passover meal that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. By doing and saying the things that Jesus did during a traditional Passover Seder, Jesus is clearly showing his disciples, and all of us too, that one of the most important aspects of the sacrament of Holy Communion is that it allows us to all grow together as a family of faith, a family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I realize that we don't all just naturally understand all the ins and outs of what the Passover Seder means and all the history and all the tradition. I get all of that. If you happen to be here on Maundy Thursday 4 years ago, in 2019, you might remember that we actually did have a Christian version of the Passover meal. We did host one of those that night in the gymnasium over there, so maybe you have some memories of that. But one of the really fascinating things about the Jewish Passover meal is that this has been one of their most important religious observances of the year, like going all the way back to the days of Moses, right? The Passover is a huge deal, and yet it's not something that's primarily celebrated and observed in public, say like at the local synagogue or something like that. Instead, it's done at home, and it's done around the family dinner table. You and I, as Christians, are used to doing all of our big holidays in other ways, right? Like, we're used to leaving our house and coming to church. I mean, that's why we're here tonight, right? It's Holy Week. It's Maundy Thursday, right? We are in those last few days leading up to Easter. This is a really big deal for us in our faith. And so this is what we do. We come together in church. We celebrate together. We look forward to all the different traditions that we have going on at this time of year, right? The stripping of the altar later tonight, the service of darkness, which is going to take place tomorrow on Good Friday, and then coming back on Easter Sunday and seeing this whole place transform, Easter lilies up here, the brass choir up in the balcony, right? And just this overwhelming sense of joy. That's what we do. We do this all together, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But imagine what it would be like to be part of one of these Jewish families, especially being one of the Jewish children who's growing up in a household like this. You're watching all of these special rituals and traditions and liturgies take place, and they're not being conducted by, you know, the local rabbi, but they're being conducted by your dad in your home, sitting around your family dinner table, right? What an amazing thing. There's something special about being able to block out all of those distractions that we have in the world all around us and just taking a quiet, intimate moment to be alone with our families for something really, really special like that. And I do believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus made the arrangements that he made on that Thursday night so many years ago. This gospel text here in Matthew chapter 26 tells us that Jesus instructed his disciples to go and find a certain man. And basically, the way that the text reads, it's like they're inviting themselves over to his house. We're going to celebrate the Passover at your house. Now, we have some other details that come from the other gospel accounts. One of them is that this man that they needed to find in the city was actually carrying a jar of water, which would have made him stand out like a sore thumb, because this is just not what men did in those days. Anybody who was carrying a jar of water was a woman in those days. That was considered a woman's job. Also, the interesting detail that the room where they would celebrate the Passover, we learned from other gospel accounts, was an upper room, which doesn't sound like that would be a very big deal, but it was nothing short of miraculous that there was this quiet, separate upper room available in the city of Jerusalem at the Passover at the last minute. I mean, there were thousands upon thousands of people who would travel to that city in order to celebrate the feast, and they all wanted to find some quiet little corner, some room to gather together with their families and enjoy the Passover meal. So whether somehow Jesus made these arrangements ahead of time and that room was reserved for them, or whether Jesus is using his divine nature to perform something miraculous in this moment, the gospel writers don't ever tell us. We don't really have those details. But it's not really the point anyway. The point is that Jesus wanted to have this last meal with his true family. And in this case, we're not talking about earthly relatives, right? We're not talking about his mother Mary. We're not talking about any brothers and sisters he had from Nazareth in Galilee. We're talking about his disciples, who would all, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, go on to truly believe in him and then establish his church on earth by the power of and with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what that says is the church, which we are a part of now, the church has always been, from the very beginning, most properly understood, a family. And not just a family, but the family of Christ. And whenever you and I come to receive the Lord's Supper, just as we're about to do again tonight in just a few moments, we are being invited to come to the family dinner table, where we not only get to have our sins forgiven and our faith strengthened, but we get to grow in love for each other as a family. We get to grow closer to the people that we are worshiping alongside of. And that's a really good thing, because it means that none of us have to go through this life and walk along our journey of faith all by ourselves. God gives people to people so that we can support one another, so that we can bear each other's burdens, so that we can rejoice together, so that we can mourn together too, and everything in between. That's what it means to be a true family of faith. And yeah, there's always going to be times when members of the family sin against each other, right? I mean, that just kind of like comes with the territory. There's no family that's perfect on this side of heaven. Church families are certainly no exception to that. We all say and do things that are careless and sometimes hurtful, things that are selfish, right? But actually, this is another huge benefit to being invited to the Lord's family table together. Because it actually forces us to deal with our sin, but in really healthy, God-pleasing, and productive ways. Think about it. Just coming up to the communion rail is in itself an admission of guilt. Right? You're coming to the communion rail because what you're saying is, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. And I actually need the forgiveness that Christ offers to me in this meal. And so if I'm able to come to this rail in that kind of humility and honesty, then I should be able to then, in the same vein, go to any one of you and say, you know what? I'm sorry that I hurt you. Or, I forgive you. Now, I know that this is easier said than done sometimes, right? I totally get that. But how much more tempting would it be for us to just ignore the sins that we commit against each other if Jesus had never instituted this sacrament? If we were never expected to come together and worship together and receive the sacrament together, if we were just in our own little individual Christian bubbles and we could just ignore the blessings of being part of a Christian community, being part of a Christian congregation, a family. When that sort of thing happens among blood relatives, right? Like when you have siblings that don't talk to each other for years, or you have parents that disown their children, what do we say? We call those relationships broken. And we say that those families are dysfunctional. So our prayer is that for us here in the church, that the love and peace of Christ would be at the center of everything that we do as a family. because his sacrificial death is powerful enough to take away our brokenness, to take away our dysfunction, to destroy the power of sin in our lives. The Lord is the head of the household. We are his children. That family time, family meal time, is crucial for the strength and well-being of our bond together, for our ability to live and grow and have life together. But not even just for ourselves. Let's not ever forget that there's always more room at God's family dinner table. We're adding 10 more places tonight, right? For our 10 confirmands. We're so excited for you guys. You're graduating from the kids' table to the grown-up table tonight. And that's awesome. That's exciting. We don't want to be the kind of family that just keeps to themselves all the time and won't let anybody else in. As we grow together in our faith, one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do is to share that faith with others, to invite them to be part of the family too, so that together we can be fed, we can be nourished by Christ himself, until the day when we will stand in heaven before his throne and we will be seated at his heavenly family table. We'll be guests of honor, the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, by your righteousness, deliver our souls, which are precious in your sight, from death. Embolden our hearts to pray, confident that Christ prays with us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, you called the young men of Israel to serve under Moses at Mount Sinai. Raise up the young men of your church to serve you, whether at your altar or by steadfast and faithful lives in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, your Son offered himself through the eternal Spirit as a sacrifice without blemish. By this sacrifice, purify our conscience from dead works, that we may serve you always in newness and holiness of life. Lord, in your mercy. Amid plagues, enemies, and a world filled with conflict and terror, give us wise leaders, O Lord, and preserve us from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws to act prudently. Give to all judges knowledge to render justice with mercy. Bless all military, emergency, and medical workers here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of Israel, we rally to your altar in the wilderness of this world. Hear our prayers for all those who are sick and suffering, especially those on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Ray, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Loreen, Beulah, Daryl, Carolyn, Savannah, Wayne, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Brighton, Paige, Brent, Bill, Delmar, and all those who are fighting cancer. Refresh them in their suffering, comfort them with your word, and nourish them in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have freed your church from slavery to this world and gathered us around your holy mountain. Hearing again the proclamation of your New Testament, cleanse us through Christ's body and blood, which was offered for us on Calvary. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls and all things. Redeem us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with a special Maundy Thursday offering. Please stand. For our offertory hymn, we'll turn to hymn 781, and we will sing stanzas 1, 2, and 6.
Thank you.
We continue now with our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on this same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We turn now to hymn 434.
Thank you.
Congregation may be seated. Welcome to the Lord's table. Avery, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Charlie, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Jace, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Lily, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Joe, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his family dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Mason, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Seth, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his family dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Raylan, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his family dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Wickham, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Owen, take and eat. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless you until the day when you sit at his family dinner table in heaven. Amen. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen. Please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. This time I'd like to invite our confirmands to come forward as well as the elders and the altar guild. And I'd like to invite the acolytes to please extinguish the candles.